Would you turn to Matthew chapter 2 with me, please? We're going to go ahead and receive the offering this morning. But before we do that, we're actually going to get something out of the beginning of a book. I know people sometimes, and I can understand why, they'll open up Matthew, Mark, or something. They'll go to chapter 3. Because after all, that's just a lot of begats and names there and all that and genealogies and so forth. But in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east and came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him. Wise there in the Greek is the word magi. Magi is actually the root word for magicians, or even astrologers. These fellas watch the stars. You mean they weren't saved? Not yet. Jesus is born. When Herod the king heard, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem was with him. Now understand, Herod was a crazy sociopath serial killer. Killed his own son because he was afraid that his son would take over the throne. Kill anybody that he thought of. Full of insecurity. Brutal. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ would be born. He wanted to find out where this guy is. Where's this Jesus? I've heard something about him taking over. Why'd he want to find him? To kill him. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler, that's what got Herod nervous, who was a shepherd, who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for this young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Now understand, the wise men saw a star they hadn't seen before. And they had heard some things. So they came and they had to go find out from people where Jesus was. Now, isn't it interesting that when he asked them, they read the scripture? So this is where he's going to be born, Bethlehem. Got that? Yeah. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshipped him. I want you to get something here. Watch this. And before I share this, one of the things that happens with an anointing that God gives you, and I'm sharing in the anointing that God gives me, is part of the anointing he has given me with an apostolic anointing is I see everything either in order or out of order. The Lord dealt with me and shared and talked to me a lot about, see that you build everything according to the pattern I show you. See that you do according to the plan I have. This is the reason why I minister so much about, it's right there in Ephesians, the plan. How Each saint is to be equipped and then to be fitly joined. And how the relationship is the joint and we supply to one another. But we have a whole lot of people that don't want the plan. They want to devise one of their own. How many of you know the plan of God is never negotiable? Ever. It's the way He says. Now, if you would just take that away with you this morning, that would be a life changer for you. Right there. For example, if He says you can have what you say, that's the way it is. Good or bad. You hear me? Life or death. How do I know that? Because Jesus said it, and that's the way it is. Yeah, but you don't understand. There's some other circumstances here that must be considered. No, there isn't. The way it is. So when He sets down an order to things, for example, there's no point in me yelling at all of you, you need to love God. No point in it. Why? Because the order of God says He loved us first. Therefore, we love Him. So if I convince a person God does not love them, what are they going to do without any help? Not love God. You understand what I'm saying? Seeing the order of things? So oftentimes what the Holy Spirit does with me is He points out to me how it's all backwards. For example, I'm not doing things to get blessed. I'm already blessed. Amen. And therefore I do things. Amen. So, well, what difference does that make? All the difference. When people approach it out of order, and I want you to know something, this is what the devil looks for. He works overtime to get your priorities out of order. What are you looking for? A way in. He could never get to Jesus. Why? Because he could not find any place in Him. And Paul said, nor give place to the devil. He can't just come in and do whatever he wants to do.
Amen.
I have to give him place. And the first place, the first way I give him place, right there in Ephesians. All you got to do is read it. Let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth, but what is necessary for edification and to bring grace to the hearer. I think you stink does not bring grace to the hearer. Or, in the King James, thou stinketh.
Amen.
Telling someone everything they're not does not edify and bring grace to the hearer. Telling someone what they ought to be, or we should be, or we ought to be. We should love one another. Oh, blah, 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 blah. We already know all that. What have you been listening to for years? This word tells you who you are, not what you ought to be. I am a new creation. Old things have passed away. I love that verse of scripture. It says, who can accuse you? It's God who justifies.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Man, I use that one on the devil regular. What does that mean? Mr. Devil, go take it up with him. He ain't about to do that. Amen. Okay. You understand? Most of the letters that Paul wrote was setting things in order. Because they were out of order. And then he says, when I come to you, I will set the rest in order. And I'm saying, Paul, write on. Keep writing. I want to know what the rest is. And the reason he didn't keep writing is because he had to go to different churches and set certain other things in order for the particular location. Amen? Can you see that? Who's first? He never second. If he's not first, he's not on the list. This is the word of God. I'm not making this up. This is not something that is my opinion. And I just went over this, and I'm making a set of rules here. This is the power principle of first in the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom. Amen. Give of the first fruit. Honor the Lord with the first fruit of your increase. I'm over with this nonsense about whether you're supposed to tithe or not. Tithe. Well, it's under the law. You can make anything under the law. You can praise under the law. What's the difference between grace and law? Grace is I want to.
Yes.
Law is I gotta. I have to. Or else I'm going to get beat down. I wonder if this happened because I didn't praise God right. Be quiet. You're making it worse. Stop wondering. And go to the Lord and He'll tell you.
Amen.
Amen. Now watch what they did here. They worshiped Him. Verse 11. Fell down and worshiped Him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to Him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There's no such thing as worship without giving. You and I were built by God to worship. That's why there's all these religions. That's why the American Indians on their own developed pagan worship. That's why when you go to South America and you can go to three different places in the world where these people have never met each other, and you will find them worshiping the creation and offering sacrifices to the god of wind and weather and rain and crops and all of this. That's why the saints got persecuted in the early church, because they refused to do that. And then when it was a bad day, they came to the Christians and said, you didn't offer sacrifice to the sun, S-U-N. So it didn't come out for a week, and our crops failed. We have to kill you. You get it? And everyone will always give to who or what they worship. I know people that worship sport teams, and they'll stand in line and pay any price to get a ticket. And they'll buy shirts for $75 that are worth about $2.02 with the name of the quarterback on the back. $150. You think that ain't worship? Think again. You see, it's not a question of whether or not we worship. The question is, who do you choose to worship? People say, I don't worship anyone. I'll tell you one person that gets worshiped a lot. Yourself. Closet from here to there. Here's my wardrobe. Well, who'd you spend that money on? The one you worshiped, yourself. Amen. Come on. See, we miss it because we think worship is what we do for 15 minutes on a Sunday morning. No, 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 no. You're worshiping 24/7,
yes,
everywhere you go.
Come on.
With everything you do.
Yes.
And if the Church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, would get a hold of what I'm talking about,
amen,
we would change this world.
Amen.
And the government would come and ask us how to fix it. Instead of in their minds, we're a necessary evil. We've got to put up with us. Those pesky founding fathers. And we say, you want the schools to change all of this junk? Put prayer back in it.
Yes.
Well, aren't we supposed to do that? Yes. Of course. Amen. Who do you worship? Well, they did what? They opened their treasury. These guys weren't kings rich. Okay? These were working people. They did. Right? And they came. Right? Now watch this. I want you to get this. Watch this. Verse 12. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. When they got there, they had to search out people to find Jesus. After they'd worshipped him and gave of their substance, God spoke to them. If they'd gone back to Herod, Herod would have killed them. and Jesus. You see a relationship between worship, giving, and hearing?
Amen.
You see an order here? You will listen to whoever you worship. Shh, be quiet. The coach is ready to speak on TV. Hush up, everybody. I want to hear what he has to say. They actually have an advertisement for NFL football and use the word worship in it. On TV. So I said to her, see, I told you. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
The Father seeks those true worshipers. And I looked at that and I said, Father, you're having to seek, search out true worshipers? Well, if he's looking for true worshipers, there must be some false ones. Praise is what we do. Praise comes out of our mouth. Amen? Worship is the attitude of our heart. Worship leads to the praise. You notice how I said to you, order things? For years and years and years, what do you hear? We're going to do praise and worship. How about this? How about you come in, worshiper, and now you praise?
Amen.
One of the things the Lord has called me to do is to set things in order. Now, isn't what I just told you more the word and the truth of it than we're going to praise and worship Jesus now? So it's unfair to the people when they're taught wrong. That's why the word says the teachers are held in a stricter judgment. The 10 spies didn't get the 40 years in the wilderness. They were dead then because they taught the children of Israel unbelief.
Yes.
Where did the 12 come from? Each one of them was the head of one of the tribes. So the leader of 10 of the tribes, boink, ground. And I have mentioned to pastors from time to time, you're being unfair with the people that you pastor. Well, I don't know. I mean, nobody prays in my church, and nobody prays, and I can't, you know, the Lord even told me one time that nobody's praying, and I looked at him and I said, when's the last time you taught on prayer? When they go like this, you know. He can't remember. I happen to think that prayer is an exciting subject. He thought it was boring. What he said. It's said, brother, you need to get before God on your face and beg him to get your heart right. We all got to do that sometimes. Now, Priscilla, she wasn't on her face begging, but what was she saying to the Lord? Please get my heart right. How many of you know a broken heart is not a right heart? I can't walk up to Brother Peter here and break his arm and then say, fight.
Well, you could.
Oh, I guess I could. But you know, see, they have a tough time. Yeah. And I got to heal it and then say, come on, fight with me. Amen. So the receiving of the offering, the giving of the tithes and offering, is as much worship of the Most High God as anything you would do. Amen. Are you getting this? The Lord always gives choice, doesn't he? We can choose to worship who or what we want. And if we want to worship the creation, our lawns and our landscaping and all around the house, and give our tithe at Lowe's or Home Depot every weekend, and then come and lay down on our knees, do the plants and everything. Am I saying you shouldn't? No. I'm saying priorities. And you're doing this at about 11 a.m. on a Sunday morning. So when something comes up during the week, you best go to that rose bush and get it to do something for you. You will always worship who you believe meets your need. How many of you know people worship animals? Yeah. And the reason they worship animals, dogs and cats and so forth and so on, is because they believe that dog meets a need they have. When I was had a greyhound racing kennel years back, I spent a lot of money on those dogs because they ran for purses and they made money. Those dogs met a need. There wasn't anything that wasn't good enough for them. That's worship. Which, of course, I got set free from. Never realized it until I was studying worship like 10 years after. And I thought, whoa. Whew. Those greyhounds have to be fed at 5 p.m. every day. And you know what at 5 p.m. every day? They were getting fed. What if God said, at 5 p.m. every day, I need some praise? Would that move you? What would you think?
Set an alarm and do it.
Well, there's one guy.
Yeah, I guess it's every time of day.
I don't see any reason why I should. Do you not understand the worship drive in you when you were born in this flesh? And the devil only brings in substitutes. He taps in to what's in you and tries to pervert it. You get that? So when you go to South America, they're doing pagan worship to the god of the waterfall and the god of the river and the god of this and this. You go to Africa, you got a group of people doing the exact same thing. And they've never compared notes. It's the exact same devil. Are you hearing me? Now this morning, as you give, and it is an act of worship. At the same time, please know that God will speak to you. But more than that, and here's the most important part. You ready? You will hear.
Yes.
Because he's always talking. You're tuning in. You know, I did this one time for real. I was having a hard time hearing the Lord. I said, Lord, if I take one step over, will it help? He said, not really. Amen. So we have so many people. Now, how important is this to hear? Well, I shared with you last week about the World Trade Center. I talked with the pastor who pastored that church. Not one person that worked in the World Trade Center died in it, but they gave testimony after testimony how God told them, don't go, or something other. Or one lady gave a testimony and said, you know, the Lord told me just to stop in the store over there to buy the gift for one of my children. So she was a half hour late, right at the time. God knows how to speak to us and get across to us. And I said, Lord, why did you do it that way? He said, because she would have never heard me say, don't go to work. You get that?
Yeah.
And I want to leave you with this. One of the things that set me free the most was when the Lord spoke to me and he said, it's my responsibility to get over to you what I want you to know, not yours. Hello? And faith came with that. Faith that said to me, Lord, whatever you want to get over to me, you're well able to do it, and I don't have to sweat it.
Amen.
And I remember riding in Orlando, and I was in the left-hand lane on the interstate, and down there especially, I haven't seen it too much up here, there are people that drive, and on purpose, they try to get somebody to hit them in the rear. And they roll out on the pavement. Ah, my neck. Then they have the doctor who's in cahoots with them so they can get the big insurance payoff. So they'll be driving on the interstate, and they'll seem to slow down. And then they'll hit the brake when somebody's behind. Very often. So I'm in the left-hand lane behind the carts on the east-west expressway that goes east to west. And the Lord spoke to me and said, go to the right-hand lane. Now, that's not my thing. You have to understand, I don't go to the right-hand lane to go slower. So it was almost contrary, but I heard him say, move to the right-hand lane. So I said, okay, I moved to the right-hand lane, and just then the car slammed the brake on, and the car behind me hit him. I said, thank you, Jesus. That's just one. I can give you a dozen. I told you about the ladder falling down on the Sunshine Turnpike. I was going down to Miami. I was going to Miami to minister. Big ladder falls off the truck in front of me. I'm doing 70 miles an hour with the speed limit. Falls out in front of me from here to that wall. Cars actually pulled over because they saw the ladder figuring, okay? The first thing I was going to do was hit the brakes. And the Holy Spirit said to me, the voice of the Lord, go faster. Hit the gas. Hit that ladder, went airborne. And those angels had to be there because I came down like it was on a mattress. And people were on the side of the road and I drove by waving. But you know, sometimes we don't hear. And sometimes saints of God who God loves and people we love, they don't hear. And they need to. So what I want to tell you this morning, and I hope you all understand, God has not stopped speaking. There are denominations that teach that. It's all done. Once the scripture was closed, show me the chapter and verse, though, that spoke to those people who said, don't go to work today in the World Trade Center. Huh? Did he not speak to Paul? Did he not tell him where to go? Did he not tell Ananias to go to a street called Straight and there you'll find Paul praying? And when Ananias walked in, you know what he said to him? He said, Lord sent me here and you were on Damascus and he appeared to you on the road to Damascus. Do you think maybe that confirmed for Paul something? Very specifically, when we get done going forward in this series, my prayer, my belief is that you will not be someone who has to guess what God is saying and maybe he's saying this and that, that he talks to you in dark sayings and riddles. But he talks to you face to face very specifically and you know exactly. And I have one other. You will notice that whenever the Lord is getting something done, he gets it done on both ends. He talked to Paul and he talked to Ananias.
Right.
We can have that.
Yeah.
He talked to Cornelius, and he talked to Peter. We can have that. Amen?
Amen.
How does faith come?
By hearing.
Are you hearing?
Yes.
Then you will have faith for this.
Yes.
Amen? Let's receive the offering. Does everybody understand that there's a relationship between worship, giving, and hearing? Amen?
Amen.
Does everyone understand there's an order to things with God? Amen?
Amen.
Before I pray over the offering, I'm going to pray for you. And we're going to pray, those whosoever will, I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to prioritize your heart and your life according to His priorities. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth of your word. And Father, the desire of our hearts are that we walk according to the priorities of your Spirit.
Yes.
We're in the Spirit, Lord. Cause us to walk in the Spirit. Yes. Now, Father, I just ask you to prioritize our hearts according to your priorities. Prioritize our hearts and our minds according to your ways, not our ways. According to your thoughts, not our thoughts. Now, Father, right now, we give you our hearts and ask you to prioritize our hearts. Say, prioritize my heart.
Prioritize my heart.
I give you my heart.
I give you my heart.
And I thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
That this week, I am in your perfect will. In Jesus' name. Amen. So no one gets real nervous right now. We're going to pray over the offering. I'm going to do a few announcements. And you're all going to go and have a great day. You've had enough for today. Amen? Is God talking today?
Yes.
Does he want a face-to-face with all of us?
Yes.
Sheep hear his voice?
Yes.
Now, next week, we're going to get into what happens when you go from being a sheep to a friend.
Oh, wow.
It gets really good. Amen?
Amen.
Rich, pray over that.
Father, we thank you for what you gave. Now, we are blessed. We
yes.
thank you that you have put the desire in our heart to worship you in all that we do. In all that we are, we speak and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. We don't give to earn. We give because we are blessed. For those that receive will lift their hands to you and praise you and know that you are God. And we thank you for it. We thank you for the increase that you have given each and every one of our bank accounts to give more.
Yes.
For you have caused us to walk in your ways according to your will, that it is done here and now through each and every member of this body.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Be fruitful and multiply. And now everyone say this with me. I am a great reaper.
Of my harvest.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Looking at the bulletin, those who, I'm going to start in the right-hand corner and go backward. Orientation class, Tuesday the 23rd and the 30th, for anyone that believes they're called to this, to Word of Life. How does it work? You're a member of the body of Christ. when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Correct? And then he places you in the body as a member where he pleases. But it is one church worldwide. Jesus said, the word says, Jesus said, I will build my church, not churches. Amen. So there is a geographical aspect to where God places all of us. You can put me in California and say, minister in Pennsylvania full time. Right? Acts tells us that we were actually born in the geographical location we were by God's design. Doesn't mean you're there all your life like my grandfather did in Waterbury, Connecticut. He lived to be 85, and for 70 years he never moved from the street he lived on. And we wanted him to come down in the wintertime down to Florida to stay with us. No, my place is here. Now God will move you. Amen. So that's Tuesday night here. Now that class will be 1 hour and 15 minutes. You're in at 7, you're out at 8:15, unless those who attend prolong it with questions. So I give another 15 minutes to 8:30. Okay? How many of you know it's important from time to time to do that? Thursday night's here, 7 p.m., the believers' meeting. And then we have prayer Monday night, 110 Bristol at my house, and 6:30 Wednesday morning, Friday morning, a.m. Gift of the Holy Spirit seminar down at Covenant Outreach Center. That's in South Philly, 57th Street. You know anybody down there? Tell them. But in the meantime, there is a Thursday night believers meeting here the same night. We can do that, you know. I praise God for it. Okay? Priscilla will be teaching. Don't miss it. Amen. The Liberian Mission, we've got how many? 45 boxes we're shipping out Tuesday. That's our third shipment. Then, of course, Sunday morning here. Okay? Any questions on the bulletin? I didn't say any theological questions. I said the questions on the bulletin. Amen. Now, one of the other things we're going to begin doing, and this comes out of James chapter 5. Are there any sick among you? Call on the elders. The anointing of oil and prayer. Now, this includes all kinds of prayer. So following each service, we're going to get this set up a little more orderly. But I just want you to understand this, that initially, myself, Priscilla, George, Sandy, you need individual prayer after the service, you come to us. Got that? Everybody hear that? Okay. I'm going to arrange, I think, for one room down the hall, the health room is one place to go for the prayer. And then the other place is around the corner. Now, the way it is right now, because of our numbers, All you need to do is come to me, or George, say, I need prayer, and then we will go where. Now, if it is a man, then I will pray for him, or George will. If it is a woman, then Priscilla will pray, or Sandy will pray. If it is a husband and wife, we will both pray. That is the order of things. Well, why do you do it that way? Because it's the best way. Amen. Now, forever let it be known, it is not counseling. You understand? Counseling is way overrated. Way overrated. Not that we don't do it. But usually when you counsel, you're usually given something to do, right? 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 Then they come back for the second session and say, did you do what we told you to do? No. Well, it's over. Only took 3 minutes. Go back and do the first thing. Like sometimes people come from counsel me, and I'll tell them a word of wisdom. Pray so many minutes a day for. I come back and go, nothing's changed with my relationship with so-and-so. Have you been praying every day? No. Duh. Lord don't have any more. And we don't either. Why would we? You understand what I'm saying? But I'm so glad. Word of Life Family Fellowship. Don't go there with that stuff. Amen. One reason I share it is so that you're able to answer when people are afraid to come to the pastor and they ask you. And you'll have the right answer. You mean people are afraid to come to the... I've been doing this a long time, folks. Yeah, they are. They're afraid what I might think of them. I'll tell you what I think of them. They're saved by grace like me. And we all need mercy, like me. That's what I think. Been there, done that. So. Huh? There are times where I've gone to the Lord and said, get me out of here. Not here. Other places. We haven't come to that yet here. Just like Timothy did with Paul at Ephesus. Timothy wrote to Paul, said, get me out of this place. Paul said, you got to stay. I need you there. Hallelujah. Now, we're also going to have a little time periodically, not every week. Do you have a prayer request you can share that we can all agree on? How many of you thinking I'd rather do it one-on-one? Anybody? Yes, sir. So what does the Word of God say? Let's do this together. We got 3 minutes. Let's do this together right now. He's got a prayer request. Weapons are formed against his marriage, his family. This is TJ, by the way. I've known him for a long time, but some of you haven't met him. Okay? And TJ called me up about 5 days ago and said, I'm ready to be equipped. I said, great, come on. Okay? How many of you know you got to come to that decision sometimes? Okay? I can't, and none of the other fivefold ministry can force it on you to be equipped. You got to want it. Amen? And so he's had some stuff he's going through. Now, he said the weapons formed against his family. Can anybody come up with some word that pertains to that?
No weapon formed against him shall prosper.
Right. No weapon formed against him shall prosper. And then what does it say? Every what? Every word, every tongue that rises against you, you shall, in judgment, you shall condemn it. What does that mean? You call it unfit for use. Amen? That's how no weapon. So, interesting though. You see how the weapon formed against you is related to the words? Every tongue that's raised up, follow me in this. Father, I thank you for your word.
Father, I thank you for your word.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I condemn it now.
You are cursed.
Every word,
I root you up.
I cast you out.
You
will not bear fruit. In my life, in my family's life, in my marriage, my children, grandchildren, in the name of Jesus. Now you're ready to go.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.